weekend retreat comes to an end. Our weekend retreat titled, Work Out Your Salvation, based on Philippians 2:12, where St. Paul tells the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we talked about that passage in our first and opening conference, about the fact that St. Paul means a filial fear and not a servile fear. And I presented to you over the course of this weekend a 5-point plan, the fifth point being presented during this homily as the fifth and final conference, a 5-point plan to help you, quote, end quote, work out your salvation based on Philippians 2:12 while living here on earth. 77 years is an average for men and women living in the West. 77 years. Those are the latest longevity statistics. Work out your salvation. And what was the 5-point plan? The 5-point plan, you'll recall from each of the conference titles, involves number one, being faithful to your daily duty. Wherever God has placed you, that's where your sanctification lies. Number two, be other-centered as opposed to being self-centered. Number three, understand the reality of vice and virtue and the devastating consequences of vice in your life if it goes unchecked. Sin's devastating effects in your life if it goes unchecked. Point number four, practice and live the sacraments. The seven lights of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church that shine in a dark world. The seven sacraments. And now this fifth conference, this homily on this Sunday, serving as the fifth point and final point, live a Trinitarian spirituality. All things to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Ad, per, and in are the Latin phrases. Ad, ad, to the Father, ad patrem, through the Son, per, P-E-R, per filius, in the Holy Spirit, I-N, in, ad, per, and in. Live a Trinitarian spirituality. And just as the overall title or theme of our weekend retreat was an imperative command from St. Paul, work out your salvation, that's an imperative, so did I make each of the five titles of each of the five conferences an imperative command. Be faithful to your daily duty. Be other-centered. Understand the reality of vice and virtue. Practice and live the sacraments. And now live a Trinitarian spirituality. We talked about last evening in our fourth conference, Practice and Live the Sacraments, how Vatican II states very beautifully in its document on the sacred liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium, that the sacred liturgy is above all things the worship of the divine majesty. Quote, end quote, from Sacrosanctum Concilium. The sacred liturgy is above all things the worship of the divine majesty. And who is the divine majesty? God. And who is God? Our Trinitarian God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, one in three. St. Turribius of Montenegro tells us this beautiful quote, God is the infinitely perfect being who is the most holy Trinity. There you have it. If you're questioning who God is, turn to St. Turribius. By the way, there's a beautiful paragraph in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that states very clearly that parents should not name their children names that are foreign to Christian sentiment. So if any of you are soon to be parents of a newborn baby boy, I would like to recommend that you name him Toribius of Montenegro. But isn't that a beautiful, beautiful definition of the Blessed Trinity? God, or beautiful definition of God, God is the infinitely perfect being who is the Most Holy Trinity. Lumen Gentium, the dogmatic constitution on the Church of the Second Vatican Council, says these words concerning specifically Pentecost. When the Son completed the work with which the Father had entrusted to him on earth, the Holy Spirit was then sent on the day of Pentecost to sanctify the Church unceasingly and thus enable believers to have access to the Father through the Son in the one Holy Spirit. To, through, and in. When the Son had completed the work with which the Father had entrusted to him on earth, the Holy Spirit was then sent on the day of Pentecost to sanctify the Church unceasingly until the end of time, the second coming, and thus enable believers to have access to the Father through Christ the Son in the one Holy Spirit. Maybe this is why St. Irenaeus, early church bishop and doctor, says, friendship with God brings the gift of immortality to those who accept it. Immortality, living forever, being immortal, like God, being like God. Friendship with God brings the gift of immortality to those who accept it. St. Irenaeus also says, life in man is the glory of God, meaning how we live that life now on earth for an average of how many years? 77. Life in man is the glory of God. The life of man is called to ultimately be the vision of God. In other words, in heaven for all eternity. That place where eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even dawned on the mind of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, it has been said that if you involve Almighty God, the Blessed Trinity, truly and sincerely in your daily life, by offering all things to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, all things daily, which we already know from the first talk on faithfulness to daily duty, all things daily are broken down into three categories: your prayer, your work, and your recreation, your leisure. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches very beautifully that we're called to have a wholesome balance of all three of those categories in daily life. It's been said that if you involve Almighty God, the Blessed Trinity, truly and sincerely in your daily life, of prayer, of work, and of recreation, you can accomplish more by accident than you set out to do on purpose. Isn't that a nice thought? And my friends, I am personally a witness to that truth. And I say that as a point of witness. I don't say that to pat myself on the shoulder. I am amazed, ceaselessly amazed, how things just seem to fall into place when I truly and sincerely, through frequent and deliberate acts of the will, seek to involve the Blessed Trinity in my daily life actively by offering all to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. Whether it be a homily, whether it be a game of sport that I'm playing with my confreres, it's nice to win. Not that it happens all the time. But good, solid recreation with your confreres, having a good time with them. Maybe a point of spiritual direction I'm sharing with somebody and they get it. They're not argumentative. Or maybe not argumentative, but they just don't seem to get it. No, they get it in the first 5 minutes that you're meeting with them. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Things just seem to fall into place. You're asked to be the cook on Saturday, and the whole meal just comes together and you burn nothing. My raviolis homemade don't become hockey pucks. everything just seems to fall into place. If you involve Almighty God, the Blessed Trinity, truly and sincerely in your daily life of offering all things in prayer, work, and recreation to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's been said that you can accomplish more by accident than you set out to do on purpose. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, Father Wade. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's things in my life that God has not answered. In fact, I sincerely believe in my prayer that God has said no to me. True enough. But does that mean that He hasn't given you what He knows in His infinite wisdom, what is best for you when compared against your finite wisdom, what you think is best for you? Like the laborer who's arguing with the landowner today in the gospel? And what does he say at the end? The landowner tells the complainer, "Take what is yours and go, what I have paid you justly, because I've paid you what I told you at the beginning of the day I was going to pay you. So you can't say that I've cheated you, because I haven't. I've given you precisely at the end of the day what I told you I would give you at the beginning of the day when you began working for me. I haven't cheated you. Take what is yours then and go. What if I wish to give this last one who showed up in the afternoon the same amount as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous with my money?" See, in the grumbling laborer's opinion, he didn't get what he wanted, even though he got what he knew the landowner said he would give him. What does Jesus promise us? We've talked about at length this weekend. He's promised us peace. But when we don't seemingly get what we want, our peace becomes disheveled. And we grow to be like this grumpy day laborer. So I'd like to share this with you. This is simply titled, "And God Said No." And God said no. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for Him to take away, but for me to freely give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. He said, "His spirit is already whole. His body is only temporary. He will be perfect in heaven." I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It is not granted. It is earned. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said He gives blessings. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare my pain, and God said no. He said, "Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you ever more closely to me on my cross." I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said no. He said I must grow on my own, but He will prune me to make me more fruitful, like the vine talked about in Scripture. I asked God if He loved me, and God said yes. He gave His only Son who died for me, and I will be in heaven someday because I believe in Him and because I love Him. So I asked God to help me love others as much as He loves me, and God said, "Ah, finally, you have the idea. you have the right idea. It all comes back to love. The subject matter of our second conference, which was titled Be Other-Centered, as opposed to being self-centered. Remember St. John Paul II in Familiaris Consortio? The most fundamental and innate vocation of the human person is to love. St. John of the Cross, at the end of this life, you will be judged on love. This is one of my favorite quotes from Pope St. Leo the Great. Have you ever laid on the ground during the day and really gaze at a cloudscape and how immense the sky is, or even more so at night, on a clear night, lay on the grass, and I mean truly, sincerely gaze at the night sky with the stars, or during the day with the clouds, the immense blue sky? Listen to this. This is my favorite quote. Talk about the reality of being in a state of grace, which means simply that you're not consciously aware of any mortal sins, and you can have moral certitude that you're in a state of grace by stopping at any given point of the day and saying to your sincerest heart of hearts, and meaning it, you know what, to the best of my sincerest of knowledge, I'm not aware of any mortal sin. Because to mortally sin, you have to will it. All three elements have to be present. And if you know in your sincerest heart of hearts you have not mortally sinned, you have the moral certitude you're in a state of sanctifying grace. Because the only thing that takes you out of a state of sanctifying grace, ipso facto, is mortal sin. Now, keep that in mind, being in a state of grace. This quote from St. Leo the Great. If we are indeed the temple of God, and if the Spirit of God lives in us, then what every believer has within himself is greater than what he admires in the skies. That's the dignity of the human person right there. If we are indeed the temple of God, and if the Spirit of God lives in us, then what every believer has within himself is greater than what he admires in the skies. That is a description of the indwelling presence of the Most Holy Trinity, which is the definition of being in a state of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the indwelling presence of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, if you have the moral certitude, you're in a state of grace, and you begin through frequent and deliberate acts of the will throughout the day, not in an erotic way, but in a natural way, begin to offer everything to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit, whether it be changing a diaper of your little one, whether it be shopping at the store, whether it be praying the family rosary, whether it be praying your private Divine Mercy chaplet during your afternoon 3 o'clock walk privately, whatever it is, whether it be playing one-on-one basketball with your son, making that deliberate act of the will before you carry out this act, whether it be a prayerful act, a working act, or a recreational act, that you're going to offer this act to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. You add that to the mix of having the moral certitude that you're not consciously aware of any mortal sin on your soul. Fasten your seatbelt. Because God will begin to use you in ways unimaginable. Ways unimaginable. Acts 2:21 tells us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How great is it then to call on the Blessed Trinity daily and offering all to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thomas Aquinas, we quoted yesterday, it is indeed the Lord's will that you have eternal life. offering all things to the Most Holy Trinity, to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, living a Trinitarian spirituality. You know, it's not by accident that the collect prayer at the beginning of Mass, after the opening rites have been completed, and the priest celebrant says, "Let us pray," and there's a pause, and then he reads the collect prayer, called the opening prayer as well. That prayer is always offered to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And by the way, during that pause, the priest celebrant is making a deliberately willed intention to collect. That's why it's called the collect prayer. To collect all of the particular willed intentions that you've brought to this Mass to unite with his own primary intention as the priest celebrant, precisely so that his sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. In fact, even the Orans position, which he goes into to pray the collect prayer, even shows in part, that he has what? That he has collected these intentions. And now he's offering them in the formulary of the collect prayer. He's offering all these intentions to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Live a Trinitarian spirituality. Remember, God doesn't want slaves. He wants sons and daughters. St. Peter Chrysologus says, God's desire is to be loved rather than feared. 1 John 4, love has no room for fear. Rather, perfect love casts out all fear. And since fear has to do with punishment, remember the servile fear, afraid of punishment, as opposed to filial fear? And since fear has to do with punishment, love is not yet perfect then in one who is still afraid. 1 John 4. Love has no room for fear, rather perfect love casts out all fear, and since fear has to do with punishment, love is not yet perfect in one who is still afraid. Live a Trinitarian spirituality.